Hello, friends, and welcome to the inaugural episode for the Diary of an Arcade Employee podcast. I'm your host, Vic Sage, and what I intend to share with you on this podcast series is what it is like to work at an arcade in this day and age, relating my experiences at working at the Arcadia Retrocade. Most of you listening to the podcast will probably know me best for my work over at The Retroist, or possibly The Saturday Frights, or Retro Radio Memories podcast, where I'm joined by my co-host, The Projectionist. A couple of years ago, I wrote some posts that can be found on The Retroist entitled Diary of an Arcade Employee, My Time at the Arcadia Retrocade. Reading these posts, you can get the backstory on how Shay Mathis brought a thriving arcade back to Northwest Arkansas, as well as my minuscule part in helping it come to be. Besides sharing my experiences at the arcade on this podcast, I also plan on discussing a particular arcade game on each episode. I hope to give you a bit of historical information on the company and programmers of each week's subject, plus some fun vintage audio treats that you might find of interest. While I will be the sole host for the podcast, because, quite frankly, The Projectionist doesn't care for video games, I do intend to have guests on the show, my fellow employees at the arcade, and even some of our star players from time to time. So, without further ado, let's start the show.
Be where I live.
Intruder alert, intruder alert.
Welcome aboard, Captain. Fighter pilots needed in Sector Wars. Play Astro Blaster.
R2 droid increase the power.
For our first show, I'm going to be discussing a Williams title from 1982, a classic sci-fi shooting scroller entitled Moon Patrol. Like many of the games I'll be talking about on the podcast, I was first introduced to Moon Patrol thanks to a very special place in my youth, Showbiz Pizza. Friends, to this day, I can tell you exactly where a game was located at that Showbiz. It really was that important a place to me as a kid. Moon Patrol was on the back wall, near the northwest corner, squeezed in between a Jungle King and an ER Kung Fu cabinet. In fact, the Arcadia Retrocade could have found itself in the old Showbiz Pizza building, since it too was located in the Evelyn Hill Shopping Center, except that it was too large and too expensive for Shay's needs. Moon Patrol was actually developed by the game company known as IRAM, which is an abbreviation for Innovations in Recreational Electronic Media. The company would go on to produce two more arcade classics, with Kung Fu Master in 1984 and R-Type in 1987. Moon Patrol was created by Takashi Nishiyama. Boy, I bet I just butchered his name. Sorry about that. It was Williams that took on the publishing duty for Moon Patrol in North America. Williams Electronics had already thrown their hat in the ring by making classic pinball tables, such as 1976 Aztec, 1977's Hot Tip, and 1979's Gorgar. They also had a slew of arcade game hits with 1980's revolutionary Defender, which was followed by its sequel, Stargate, in 1981. But in 1982, Williams was firing on all cylinders, as besides Moon Patrol, they also released Joust, Robotron 2084, and Sinistar. The gameplay for Moon Patrol, as I mentioned previously, is a side-scroller. It is the first arcade game to introduce what is called parallax scrolling, which means the background images are moving slower than the image in front, giving it a field of depth. The players find themselves in control of a purple-hued, six-wheeled moon buggy, and with a two-way joystick allowing you to move left and right, you control the speed of your vehicle on the lunar surface. You are able to jump in an effort to avoid craters and boulders that are strewn along your path. Thankfully, you have the use of a fire button that launches three missiles straight up, and at the same time engages the cannon at the front of your buggy, which is useful for destroying the smaller boulders in front of your vehicle. The missiles are used to take down the various UFOs that swarm at the top of the screen. Some of them attempt to drop bombs on your vehicle or launch crater-making projectiles in front of your buggy. Those are the worst, in my opinion. In later stages, you will have to worry about perfecting your jumps when trying to avoid landmines, or I guess they would be lunar mines in this case. You have to avoid hungry plant life as well as rolling boulders. You do have an on-screen display that can aid you in preparing for enemy attacks, thanks to three vertical indicator lights, assuming you aren't too busy to look up from what is in front of you. When the top indicator flashes, there are UFOs inbound. The middle light indicates a stretch of dangerous lunar mines. Finally, the bottom light indicates an enemy behind you. Sometimes, an enemy hovercraft will approach from the rear and then charge you. You need to leap over it and take it out with your cannon when you land. On top of all of this, the player tries their best to reach each checkpoint in the course in the shortest amount of time. There are 26 checkpoints, and each are named for letters in the English alphabet. A course is completed once you've reached the fifth checkpoint, and the time you've taken to complete the course is compared to the average completion time, with bonus points awarded for besting the average time. Personally, I think Williams never made a bad arcade game back in the day. Like the Activision titles for the Atari 2600, it was a name I quickly learned to look for to be sure of a fantastic gaming experience. I can't speak for anyone else, but one of the reasons I fell for Moon Patrol wasn't just because of the awesome gameplay. Well, not entirely, but its fantastic game music. With its peppy and jaunty theme, there were many times I would leave showbiz humming its tune. And truthfully, I've caught myself more than a few times humming it when I'm on duty at Arcadia walking the floor. The high score holder for Moon Patrol at the Arcadia Retrocade is currently Michael Dietrich, with a score of 275,040 points. You will hear Michael's name again in future podcasts, friends. He's kind of the Billy Mitchell of the Northwest Arkansas scene, the one who sets his sights on a high score and just smashes it. Watching him play is something to behold, and I hope we can get him on an upcoming show. I believe the world record for Moon Patrol was set by Tom Votava, who netted a more than impressive 1,414,600 points back in 2010. Moon Patrol, besides the standard upright cabinet, was released in a cocktail version to boot. We actually have both at the Arcadia Retrocade, though I am sad to say the cocktail version is down at the moment. It taught us the painful lesson to always check out the insides of the cabinet thoroughly before plugging it in for play. We scored the cocktail version before we had the upright cabinet, and we're just so excited to have it in the arcade, we cleared a spot for it and plugged it up so we could play it. Unfortunately, we didn't notice until too late that it had about 2 pounds of cat hair encompassing the power supply. Friends, that was a bad, bad smell. Moon Patrol was bringing in enough tokens and quarters back in the day that it was subject to a bootleg version entitled Moon Ranger, which was identical in every way except for the title. For those that didn't grow up in the golden age of arcades, bootlegged games could be secured by an arcade owner for cheaper than purchasing from the manufacturer. I mean, why pay for a Pac-Man when you can have Hangley Man or Piranha, games that were close enough to the original source that kids would spend their quarters on it. Earl Green, friend to the Retroist site, as well as the Arcadia Retrocade, has some fascinating articles on the subject over on his site, phosphor.fossils. You will want to check it all out, and I'll be sure to include a link on this podcast post. Moon Patrol was a popular enough game that it was ported to virtually every home console and computer, like the Apple II, the ColecoVision, Commodore 64 and VIC-20, the MSX, and the Dragon 32, Texas Instruments TI-99, and TRS-80 color computer, as well as the Atari 800, Atari ST, Atari 5200, and of course, the Atari 2600.
And now, this message.
They love it on Nebula. They're wild about it on Taurinus. Even on Motus, where they don't like anything at all, they eat it up. It's Atari's Moon Patrol, the action-packed video game. Brace your moon buggy over enormous craters. Blast attacking saucers. And zap moon rocks.
You'd better watch out.
play Moon Patrol. It's more fun than a barrel of Grognitz. You from Atari.
Now where you been? You'll make the days roll on by. Blasting bombs out of the sky. Well, you know deep down that it's gonna be a hummer. Cause nobody's hotter than Atari this summer. Nobody's hotter than Atari this summer.
This summer, the really hot video games come from Atari. We've got Centipede, Ms. Pac-Man, Vanguard, and Galaxian. If you thought it was going to be just another summer, Atari is going to turn your head around.
The hot names, the hot games, the hot deals. Yeah, it's gonna be a hummer, cause nobody's hotter than Atari this summer. Nobody's hotter than Atari this summer. No!
Moon Patrol had the distinction of making appearances in two feature films back in the day, 1983's screwball comedy Joysticks, and 1984's The Karate Kid. The Killer List of Video Games site, or KLOV, voted it number 40 in the best 100 arcade games of all time. Not too shabby at all, with Joust taking number 39 and Pingo picking up number 41. Moon Patrol was a popular title for later gaming consoles and handheld devices as well. It was ported to the likes of the Game Boy Color, the Dreamcast, and the PlayStation, Windows 95, and mobile phones as Moon Patrol EX. It got a late release on a classic gaming system thanks to a homebrew version for the Mattel Electronics Intellivision system back in 2012, and it was entitled Space Patrol. It even has a pretty remarkable rendition of the arcade theme. Friends, you might find it interesting to know that many of the games in Arcadia are grouped together in themes. The Donkey Kong games are all on the same row, the same as Pac-Man, the fantasy adventure titles like Golden Axe and Willow, the shooters, and so on and so on. With Moon Patrol, it shares a space alongside Atari's Vindicators and Missile Command, just on the opposite side of Asteroids, Battle Zone, and Asteroids Deluxe. Let me take this moment to explain a little more about the Arcadia Retrocade. It's a retro arcade, of course, where you pay $5 at the door to have all-day access to around 130 vintage arcade games. We have no need for quarters or tokens, as all of the machines are set to free play or require a press of a credit button that has been installed upon the machine. This was actually one of the first agonizing decisions for Shay, since he looks upon the arcade as a living museum. Was there a way to avoid changing these vintage cabinets? The answer to that is some of the machines do allow you to set them up for continuous free play options. Just hit the start button, you're good to go. For those that do not, Shay had his techs install small buttons on the coin door in an effort to avoid damaging the cabinet itself. The Arcadia Retrocade boasts everything from Pong to an environmental or sit-down Sinistar. I was quite surprised when the arcade first opened that one of the most popular games with our younger players wasn't Donkey Kong or Mario Brothers, but the Atari 2600 and its game collection. Walking into the arcade on opening day and seeing three 12-year-olds just having a blast playing Adventure and Dragonfire made me feel pretty good. It's like Shay is passing the gaming torch to a new generation. It gets even more attention than the N64 and Nintendo Entertainment System we have in the back of the arcade. Though, I can say truthfully, we do have to show not only kids but young adults how the Atari 2600 works. I would say most of them are familiar with the NES and later gaming consoles, but they have a tendency to approach that 2600 like it's something alien. Friends, I think that about brings us to the end of this first podcast. I plan on this being a bi-weekly show, and I'm sure like any podcast, it will slowly evolve over time, so I certainly hope you shall stick with us. I would like to add that I had planned on putting out this show about a year ago, but found myself worrying that I wouldn't be up to the task. Thanks, though, to the overwhelming support of not only Shay Mathis, his right-hand man, Andy Pickle, our techs, Beau Counts, and John Munkus, as well as the Retroist, The Projectionist, Daniel 13, Sean Johnson, Rob O'Hara, and Kevin Zerb from the Throwback Reviews podcast, and many, many others. I felt the time was right to get it out there. I certainly hope you enjoyed the podcast, and if you have any feedback for the show, or perhaps a suggestion for a game to cover, you can reach me at vicsage@retroist.com. For further information about the Arcadia Retrocade, please make sure to follow them over on their Facebook page. I, of course, want to give a huge thanks again to The Retroist for not just hosting this podcast, but for allowing me to record in The Retroist Vault. And when you need your retro fix, why not visit The Retroist site at www.retroist.com. I hope you listeners will also share your memories of arcades and the game of the week in the comments section of the podcast post. Better yet, I hope you'll share some vintage photos of your favorite arcades. Until next time, have a token on me as we listen to a clip for the game I will discuss on the next show. This has been a Retroist production.